There is coming a day when no heartache shall come. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, a glorious day that will be. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, a glorious day that will be. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand, he leads me through the promised land. What a day, a glorious day that will be. Sing it with me. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. I'm gonna look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand, he leads me through the promised land. What a day, a glorious day that will be.
Appreciate that, Sister Frieda. What a day that will be. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Larry, if you want to help us, please.
Furtherment of thy kingdom.
Thank you, Lord.
For thy glory, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Let's just sing this little song, know ye not, ye are the temple. I'm going to sing it in English and Spanish. And if you know the Spanish version, you can sing it too. If you don't, then I guess it'll just be me then.
Know ye not, ye are a temple. Let's stand to our feet. Know ye not, ye are a temple. Know ye not, ye are a temple. Temple of Yes, I know. Yes, I know. I am the temple. Yes, I know. Yes, I know. I am the temple. Oh, yes, I know. Yes, I know. I am a temple. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. I'm full of praise, full of power, and full of glory. Full of praise, full of power, and full of glory. I'm full of praise, full of power, and full of glory. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. Oh, sí soy yo, soy el templo. Yes, I am, yes, I am the temple. Sí, soy yo, soy el templo. Soy el templo del Espíritu de Dios. Lleno de poder, lleno de gracia, lleno de gloria. Full of praise, full of power, and full of glory. Lleno de poder, lleno de gracia, lleno de gloria. Soy el templo del Espíritu de Dios. Know ye not, oh know ye not, know ye not, ye are a temple. Know ye not, know ye not, ye are a temple. Know ye not, know ye not, ye are a temple. Ye are a temple of the Holy Ghost. I'm full of praise, I'm full of praise, full of power and full of glory. Lleno de poder, lleno de gracia, lleno de gloria. I'm full of praise, full of power, and full of glory. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. Let's give the Lord a clap of praise. Hallelujah.
Amen. Are you ready for the word this afternoon? So we're going to have Brother Dale come. Let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart as he comes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. My heart, I want to see you.
Amen.
Yes, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up,
shining
in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing.
See him, don't you? Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to return back to any scripture there to Matthew 24, we'll read from about 23 through 28, Matthew 24. Now remember, after the service, Sister Esther wants to get together with all of the sisters downstairs and get everything arranged for the Tuesday night watch night thing and everything, get ready for that. And you ladies, you know, get your little, that's doing pretty good. I can only do that once. But get everything ready with your finger foods and your things, you know, to where we can eat a little bit before the Watch Night service. And then, you know how we do, we always just eat after the service. That way we don't have to go out in the world and, you know, participate in all of that. We can just have a good time for a little while here at the church and doing those things. So remember them. Remember Wade and June and them, Brother Chris and all are over at Brother Altig's, probably traveling back by now. And remember Anna and Richard are coming back in this evening, and just pray that the Lord would bless. His dad is doing better, and we appreciate that. He's able to, you know, to do things that nobody thought he would ever do. Brother Aaron's shaking his head here because, you know, nobody expected him to be anything. I think now they're finally on putting that plate back in where that he won't be so through trouble with falling or anything, you know, could really get hurt. But just keep praying for him. He wants to go home to his home, you know, and I like that too. I don't want to stay over there in the hospital or something like that. Just let me go home and where I can be where I'm at, you know, and all. But just remember to keep praying for him. All right, then the Bible study for the youth will be on the 4th, starting, what did it say, 3 or 3:30? 3 on that, on the 4th day of January. And then at 6 o'clock that night, we will be having the adult Bible study. So come and be with us and just, you know, sit down and have a good time talking about the Lord and all. And 2, I'm going to try to progress, if I can, enough into finishing up this afternoon of what I'm wanting to bring. And then, if you will, we'll have questions and answers maybe next Sunday, because on that Sunday, Brother... somebody say it. Nathaniel. Brother Nathaniel Green will be here speaking that at Saturday afternoon, and then he'll be on the evening services in the evening, so that morning maybe we'll have questions and answers and things. Because I'd like to know, if there's anything you want to know, just write a question. What are you talking about? That's a question to me. It doesn't matter to me. Somebody just that blunt. What in the world are you talking about? I'll try my best to explain what in the world I'm talking about. Because that's what I want you to see, what I see, what I believe, and then it's between you and God, the rest of it. Because I can't make you believe it. I can just maybe keep repeating it until I either bore you with it or you decide to get something done about it. So that's, you know, that was the story that the preacher come in, you know, and he preached against sin, you know, getting everybody to repent. And they said, well, why don't you preach on something else? He said, let them repent. You know, let them repent and I'll preach on something else. So, you know, you just write down, tell me what you want me to preach on, and I'll tie it to the new birth one way or the other. Because that's one thing for sure. It'll always tie together. All right. But just remember those things. And then remember the fellowship meeting will be here on the 3rd Saturday, 3:30. And Wade's give that brother's name, and I can't never remember it. But anyhow, they'll be here with us, okay? All right. Father, we thank you for the day and the grace and the love that you've given unto us. We thank you for everything. And we just ask you to help us this afternoon, Lord, to try to speak what's on our heart, because that's what we desire to do. We desire one thing, and that is to be used of you to be able to speak to your people. Then outside of that, this body can be a castaway. Who cares? Because I just want to help you, Lord, the best that I can, and maybe that's not the right way to be saying it, because you don't need no help. You need for us to get out of the way. And then that way would be the greatest help of all. But have your way with us. Forgive our sins. Lead us by thy grace and love. Remember the sick ones among us, Lord. We think about that constantly. How that we've all just grown older and older and older. And never thought we'd be getting this old, getting nearly 80 years old. But, Lord, then people are just getting sick and worn out. And these old bodies are just becoming a pest house to us. But yet we thank you for your love and your grace, and just have your way with each one of us. Guide us now and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go down and just save time reading. We'll start about 20, verse 22. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, it should deceive the very elect. Now, what have we found out by our scripture there? That, somebody comes among you and brings a sign or wonder, and it comes to pass, that God sent these things among us to try us. Now, that doesn't sound like a good God, but it sure is. You know, he knows how to do it. But that's the point. Insomuch if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Because you don't have to worry about him, because it's going to be made manifest, right? For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, I pray that what I tried to get across this morning went down deep enough to understand and all. Because, you know, I just try to tell you what I believe. And, then that way it can be resting between God and you as to far as the doing. But see, and I never thought people of this message, after all of the times that we've had and the teachings, even back in our denominations, and coming down to the people of this message, would ever come to a point that somebody would say that the disciples got born again before Jesus Christ died. That just goes down into, it just eats me alive. That's all I can say about it, because after all that God has done, and that's the best we can do. It just tires me alive because that's doing. But then this morning, trying to cover the point or thought that those Old Testament saints, they could be anointed. Yes, were anointed, right? David was anointed to kill a bear, a lion, a giant, etc. He could be all of those things, but the prophet said he lacked the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That was the one thing he needed, was the new birth. Because, see, they couldn't have that new birth, because then when it come to Jesus, the first sermon that he preached was to Nicodemus and saying, you must be born again. Well, if they had eternal life before Jesus Christ died at Calvary, then why would he tell Nicodemus that? All he'd say to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you believe who I am and what's going on now? You got the Holy Ghost. And that's pretty well the way it is now, right? You believe the message of the hour. You've been in the message for 20, 30 years. Well, you got the Holy Ghost. Well, that don't suit with me. It never has. I like watermelon or banana pudding. Okay? I like banana pudding. But you know what? I despise it when it's on your plate and not on mine. See, I don't love banana pudding on your plate. I love banana pudding on my plate. And that's the way I am with the gospel. I just love the gospel to be able to feast upon it and the things that we used to question. I mean, back to church, I don't mean this that we know so much or done so much, but your churches out there, they're teaching things. They're not just blinded out to doing nothing. And we would try to teach things in the denominations and things. They've done some pretty good teaching on a lot of good things. You know, that was there. If you just remember where you was at. And see, I've seen a lot of good things happen and all like that coming down and all. But I want it to happen now. And that's my whole thing, if nothing else. All right? And see, those Old Testament saints then, Jesus Christ wouldn't have had to die if they could have got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But they could get anointed. Right? Now, there's the key that to me, that when the prophet came to that under the anointed ones and was bringing the message, I'm just saying what I think. See, when he comes across there, And he's telling on the anointed ones and all, and he can read and says, now Jesus said these things, and we'll thank God for the opening of the seals that these things could be explained. And he looks in there and he begins to see where that anointing is at. That it was in the spirit of mankind, but not in the soul. See? Now watch that after a while. If you don't, listen to what I'm saying. See, to me, you can have the word every day of your life and miss it. All right? You can have the spirit every day of your life and miss it. But when you get them together, when that spirit can come down in there and quicken that word to you, there to me is the joy that I have. It's when I'm studying something or thinking about it and I hear the prophet say it and I think, oh Lord, that is, you know, I just don't understand that. And all at once something just goes. And there it just turned out so clear. And you say, well, there was no other way of saying it than that. You know, you remember the first time when you heard Brother Branham explaining one God? And he said, you're a father, you're a son, and you're a human. Well, I'd have loved to have had that when I was in the Baptist church. I'd love to have had that understanding, DeBrock, because I was a Baptist believing Baptist doctrine is one true and living God. If you don't believe that, go find you one and talk to it. But yet we couldn't explain it. So we explained it, God in three persons, Blessed Trinity, which was just as Trinitarian as anybody else was. And that's what crossed me when Brother Moat said that to me. He said, what do you believe? I said, one true and living God. He said, explain it. I said, God in three persons, Blessed Trinity, because that's all I had. He said, you're just as much a Trinity as the rest of them. I said, sir, would you explain yourself? He said, well, said, a person's a person, a personality's a person, an individual's a person. He said, then you got three gods. I said, well, give me a little more. So he said a few more words. I looked at him and I said, I don't believe that no more. Well, that's all that. See, I had a way of expressing what I had always tried to believe, you know, and see about God. Okay, now, but you see, we get that tied up into the bases that we think about it. Well, the point I want you to think of and what I was trying to get across this morning was the one thing. You think about those Old Testament saints and what they've done. If you don't know what they've done, read Hebrews 11. Right? And read of all the things that they done. Stopped the mouth of lions. Killed bears. Killed this. Done that. You know, Samson killing 1,000. Those things with just one old jawbone. You know. And just think. Well, see, he was anointed. They took him over there and they finally pucked his eyes out and done everything. But one day, they forgot one thing. Those dummies. There his hair was growing out. The thing that Sheba, or what her name is, that she wound up finding out where his strength was. It was in his hair. Well, Bud, you better believe. Every morning I would have got up. If I'd have been one of them Philistines and I'd have had 15 of my brothers killed by one man with a jawbone from an old donkey, you know, I'd have went out there every morning, I'd have shaved that head. And I'd have even cut the hairs out of his nose. I'd have got every hair off that body I could find. Because there was the strength. Right? I'd have kept, but see, they didn't. They let it grow out. And I thought, oh, he's blind. He can't do nothing. He's blind. He did have to have a little help. But what did he do? He told that boy, he said, where's the pillars of this temple? He said, they're right over here. He said, okay, son. He said, you better leave. Because that power is coming back. And, Bud, that was something. That anointing came back on him that took that temple down. All right. See, the great things that happened in those Old Testament saints, you know, that this marvelous situations took the place of one person, you know, would kill so many people or a bunch of lions or bears or something. Just one person, this an anointing from God. All right? But after all of that, it never gave him eternal life. Now you say, well, I kind of believe they had eternal life. All right, I ask you the simple question. How did they get it? But we don't have to understand. We just believe it. Believe what? Let me ask you a question. When a person died in the Old Testament, what happened to their soul? I know where the body went, to the grave. Spirit went back to God who gave it. Okay. Where'd their soul go? So evidently there must not have been eternal life until Jesus come. Because if there was eternal life in that soul of that man in paradise, why did Jesus have to go get him and bring him out? Why would he not stepped out? There in the resurrection would have been nothing. Think on these things. That right there is enough to show to me that those Old Testament saints never had it. Because they was waiting on him to come pick them up. Right? And see, then that's where we get into a lot of things, but that's where people don't want it. But that's okay. That's no problem. Just think on these things. Those Old Testament saints were not born again. Thereby, they had to go to paradise to wait until the Lord Jesus went through death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and opened the doors of paradise to bring them out.
Amen.
All right? See, then you can take them up into further but into the scriptures that they raised with him. All right? Think on that just a little, and maybe it'll help you. All right. Let's get to that point now to think on it. If that be true, that they didn't have eternal life, well, then why would we think that we come into the world with eternal life? Oh, I always was eternal. That's quoting the prophet. But if you come into the world with eternal life, I ask you a question. How'd you get it? Well, I always had it. You always was eternal. Then why did Jesus die? Simple question. He wouldn't have had to die if he always had eternal life. So there's got to be something about that that's not understood. All right? So he's trying to explain it on anointed ones. Because he's explaining there, he said, remember we read it this morning, after the opening of the seals, now we can see whether or not that we are a briar or a thistle or something, you know. We can find out where we at. Well, I don't know nothing about seals, and I ain't never studied them. It don't matter to me. Well, does it matter to you if you're born again or not? See, that's no excuse. That's no situation to stand before God when he tells the greatest of all religious leaders that the world had ever seen, Nicodemus. He said, you must be born again. Nicodemus was one man qualified to be able to step into eternal life. Don't you think so? Because he had everything perfect. He was a high priest. He was all kind of thing. He had it all lined up that he could have just... And Jesus would have had to come to him and said, oh, Caiaphas, you got it. But he didn't. When the one man that could have thought, because Jesus wanted declared him to be that. I didn't. Jesus said, thou art a teacher. Because he declared him to be a teacher. He declared Nicodemus to be the greatest ruler, teacher of all. And said, you didn't understand these things. All right. Now think about it. As we covered this morning, back up just a hair to a thought. There is not but one Christ. There is one eternal being. There is one true and living God. There's not many Christ. They are in the basis that he can anoint many people to be Christ. Okay. But that don't make many more of them. It's the same Christ.
Amen.
The prophets will tell you then, what? Like we said this morning, the same God that dwelt in Moses to tell God a better way of doing so was the same God that was in Balaam to prophesy and write the word of God. See, we just cringe. I see that. I watch it on your faces. You cringe sometimes. And it just, it means to me that they're not getting it. Well, I cry and I pray and God give me some way to explain it. And I try to read what the prophet had to say about it. He said, there's only one genuine. There's not many Christ. There are many Christ because he's in many people. Yeah, it's wonderful. But only one Holy Ghost. There's only one eternal life. There's not two eternal lives. See? All right, so then the same anointing that was on Moses was on Balaam. Where was it at? Well, now what we got figured out here, Moses had it inside of him and Balaam had it anointed on outside. Now, you're not going to go nowhere with the Word of God in that terminology. You better get it to where the prophet would be talking about it. He says there's many Christ, but there's only one Christ, one Holy Spirit, one eternal God. All right? So then let's keep that thought in our mind that there's only one eternal God. And let's read a little bit this afternoon. Some of these, I've already read them to you, so I'll read them over again. Number one, anointed ones to end time. Brother Branham, do you believe that that anointing on those people means that it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Yes, sir. The genuine Holy Spirit of God upon a person, and yet they're false. All right. Now, determining this morning, if you were thinking on it and keep it that way, then we can go on down a little bit and pick up the thoughts and it'll be there. Where is the anointing at? Right. It's on the Spirit.
Right.
The second realm of mankind. All right. There's where the anointing goes. Right. But see, that's where we want to make it some different something. We want to make it that we're something special. Okay, praise God, we are. But not the way you're thinking. See, that anointing. Why does it have to go any further than your spirit? What's the purpose for it? The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to quicken the Word.
Amen.
Is that true?
Amen.
Come on now. The purpose of the Holy Ghost is to quicken the Word. The apostles, the Bible said they took the word and held it.
Right.
All right, the Holy Ghost came and made that word alive.
Right.
And that was the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost fell on them, making that word alive in their soul and gave them eternal life in their soul. But see, anointed ones, that's why I kept emphasizing the thought to you. If it's the Holy Ghost to come down and quicken the word, that's in your soul that you've took and held and studied it and it's made a part of you, then you're sealed in. Right? You're sealed in. But remember our point that we've brought for months now, anointed ones are not sealed in. They're actually sealed out. Well, now, wait a minute. No, the job of what they're doing, justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right. Justified, cleans the vessels. I mean, you know, pick it up. Sanctification cleanses the vessel. And the baptism puts the vessel, puts the eternal life in you. So I think the anointed ones that are not genuine are over here. And the other anointed ones that are genuine, they're over here. The difference is the Word. What was the difference in Balaam, are we talking about this morning, and Moses? Or Elijah, or any of the prophets put there with him? What was the difference in the disciples and the rest of them? When, hey, come on, the Bible said he was seen of over 500 brethren after his resurrection.
Right?
Right? Where were they on the day of Pentecost? According to my calculations, that's like 380 of them got disappeared somewhere. They didn't think enough of it to go to the upper room. Right? Yet it called them disciples. He was seen of them after his resurrection. Right? But you see, they didn't stay with the Word. Are we going to stay with the Word? Huh? What about it? Do you believe that's the genuine Holy Spirit, Brother Brown? He said, yes, sir. And he goes on down just a little further on the same quote. And he says, now that's, thus saith the Lord. Now what about that? Do you think you and I got any common stupid sense to argue with the thus saith the Lord? I don't. Sorry about that. But he said, because of the seals opening, we now can understand these things. Of the anointed ones. All right? We can understand it. All right? So now let's pick up and go on down. Go to number 3. We read some of this morning, and we'll just pick up the rest and go on. Hope it don't get boring to you. Okay? You say, Brother Branham, false prophets. The Bible said in the last days there'd be false prophets. Jesus said there shall be false Christ, not false Jesus. Now, nobody stands still for that, but false Christ. Christ means the anointed one, ones. Falsely anointed, they are anointed, but they are false at the bottom of it. Now, what's he talking about? At the bottom of it. The bottom of it is where you start from. Right? In other words, the deepest part of you is your soul. And do great signs and wonders, speak in tongues, dance in the Spirit, preach the gospel. Now tell me anything you can put that something in your life is different from those signs and wonders that you put the Holy Ghost on. Well, I got the Holy Ghost because I saw visions. I got the Holy Ghost because I dreamed. If you don't know what the new birth is, you're in bad shape. Listen, do great signs and wonders, speak in tongues, preach the gospel. Judas Iscariot did it. Simon, or no, I beg your pardon, Caiaphas prophesied, Balaam and all. All of those things that we would claim our salvation on and put the point of the danger of our life as to not being lined up with the right word. Well, now then, who's got the word? Office doors are open. Go ahead to number 4. Well, you say these are good people. What makes them? Because one thing, their tie post is on the church and in here. And you remember last Sunday, a week ago, how many was here and heard the sermon on the anointed ones in the last day? I think all of you, see, they are anointed. Their spirits are anointed in this second realm. The spirit is anointed, which is the second realm of mankind. All right? So now where is the anointing at? It's on your spirit. Right? It's not in your soul. It makes alive the word that you have in your soul. But if you don't have the word alive, how can the Holy Ghost quicken it? Yeah, but I go to church, I pay my tithe, I do all these things. How can he quicken anything? Are we going to make our works what we're saved by? I hope not. All right. So now go ahead. Let's see, there's a continuation of that. Go to 126. And knoweth it not. Well, where's it at now? Where's your anointing to be? Their spirits are anointed in the second realm. Keep that. Remember the bottom of it. Keep that. Going up now to number 5. There's a reason that people today, don't forget this now, and you'll see what the Holy, what the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost is. Okay? Now, people can live in this spirit. They dance in the spirit. They shout in the spirit. They go to church in the spirit. And they can absolutely have the real Spirit of God anointed on that spirit, but still be lost. And just as devil possessed as they can be with that spirit. Because watch. That's the reason you couldn't tell that woman. You remember the story about the woman? She's out cutting grass with her shorts on. But he said she's a Sunday school teacher or something like that. You know, she's a teacher. He said, that's why you can't tell her. It's because she's done all these things. I mean, you're going to walk up to somebody that spent their whole life going to church, paying their tithe, doing everything the Word says, and say, you're lost. You couldn't tell her she's wearing shorts was wrong. You couldn't tell her bobbing her hair was wrong. Well, that's what you, well, what's the hair got to do with it? Well, it did to Samson. Huh? Now, think about it. Go on to the next one. This is rather lengthy reading. This is from Thinking Man's Filter. I wish you'd listen to the whole message. Just go ahead and pull it on up, save time. Religious groups and things, but not. I spoke this morning and last Sunday morning on the wheel in the middle of the wheel. You know what that Ezekiel wheel in the middle of the wheel, one runs by the way. All right. It's the baptism of the Holy Ghost inside your soul. Right? It's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. Wheel in the middle of the wheel. Or that little inside soul on the inside of the spirit. How that the spirit on the outside between the soul and the body can be absolutely anointed with the Holy Ghost. Did you all understand that? They all are, amen. I'm not making no light. I'm just saying, if I sat in there, I'd say, oh me. But I ain't getting it. Now to follow that with the continuity of the message, the God of this world. So he said, if you want to read one to go with anointed ones, get the God of this, God of this evil age is what it is. But outside that middle case, first circle in the human senses. The second circle is the spirit senses, will, self-will, desire, and so forth. But the inside is the soul. That soul was predestinated. So they can be anointed, so they can anoint this spirit to make the outside body come in subjection to the spirit. Okay? But the soul that sinneth, that soul shall die. The soul that rejects in unbelief the word of God, which is the part of God, part of, that soul shall eternally as always. All right? I believe in eternal death. Listen. I believe in eternal heaven. But I do not, but not an eternal hell. Huh? I believe in an eternal death. Okay, does that need explaining? Eternal death is this when you're done away with. There's no hopes of you ever coming back. That's in the Bible. That's it. You're done. You burned in a lake of fire. That's an eternal, you can have an eternal death. Because you're annihilated. All right. You can have an eternal heaven. That was easy to understand, right? But not an eternal hell. Because hell was created. That's what, church, it gets me. That man, a seventh grade education of a man, and standing there, and theologians sitting there looking at him, man, this guy's all messed up. He is goofing up, looking at it. He sounds like, one time he says he believes in eternal hell, another time he says he don't. He didn't say that. Right. He said he believed in eternal death. Right. He believed in eternal heaven. But he didn't believe in an eternal hell. Right. Because hell is finally annihilated. There is an eternal death for the people that are. And them religious worlds that know is the one woman that liveth in pleasure. Listen, the Bible said, see, she may be religious, but she never was saved. She's got an outward motion. She might sing in the choir. She might dance in the spirit. She might speak in tongues and have all the manifestations of the spirit. But unless that soul on the inside is God's daughter, see, she is gone no matter what she does. Now listen, then where are you anointed at? Well, I was anointed in my soul. Show it to them in the Bible. Show it to them in the prophet's message on an anointing in the soul. But don't come up now with some, and I'm not saying that's wrong. I've explained it many times right here, and I'll do one more time. Brother Branham, from the time he started in the 40s until he reached somewhere about 63, a little more, maybe towards 64, he was basically, I said basically, which that means not ever time, but close to ever time. He was teaching body, outside rim, second rim, soul. The center rim was the spirit. And see, people don't even listen to you when you're saying something. Do you know that before one of the Pentecostal moves, they did not believe you had a soul until the law came? Have you ever heard that one? They believed you're just a body and spirit. But when the law came, it brought you a knowledge. So you look good. Man explained that to me at work. I said, looks real good, but I got one problem. He said, what? I said, would you mind reading Genesis? That's right. Where it said that he breathed into Adam's nostril and he become a living soul. And you telling me that didn't have no soul until it come all the way over? I said, would you mind taking the word soul and run it through the Old Testament and see how many times it's mentioned? And why would David scream out and crying, my soul is troubled? See, the point of what I'm trying to explain, what I've tried to explain, and it gets me in trouble to try to explain it, but I get in trouble. All right? You like to be arrogant? Well, no, but I don't want to be stupid. There's very little difference between arrogant and stupid. Stupid means you don't want to hear. Means you won't take correction, won't do nothing. Arrogant means you get built up in your own self. I'm built up in my own self. I'm glad that God has revealed this word to me. I do not back off from any thought of that. If you think I'm exalted or whatever, you think what you want to. I'm just so glad of what he's revealed to me. Aren't you? Amen. Aren't you glad of what God has made known to you? Right. If not, then you need to get to the altar.
Amen. Amen.
You ought to be happy about what's been made known to you. Amen. Go out right across there. You can't get it.
That's right.
But listen. The prophet, as I said, basically preached. Body, five senses. Soul, second rim, memory, reason, conscience, et cetera, et cetera. Center rim, either faith or doubt. But when he comes to 63 and you're coming into the last of 63 and hitting the 64, he teaches body, spirit, soul. You go check it now and see if I'm right. Back in before the 63, before 63 and back in the beginning, he was teaching body, second rim, you know, outside rim, soul, second rim, spirit, center rim. See, that's why your two soul people could be so confusing with what they were saying. Because they taught from soul is the nature of the spirit. You wouldn't, a lot of you wouldn't back there even talk to them about it hardly, but. But listen, after 63, sometimes to the 64, he teaches body, spirit, and soul. You said, well, where did he change that? Well, he changed doing it. Because I ask you to show me after 63, or somewhere there in now, 64. Show me where he was teaching body, soul, and spirit. I'll show you where he was teaching body, spirit, and soul. You say, well, what's that got to do with it? We need to know this to be saved. What are you? Where's the anointing at? See, Brother Branham didn't have to correct that because he's right. He never changed the senses. No matter where it was, here or here. He always had sense number one, or position, body, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. He always taught the second realm as memory, reason, conscience, affections. He taught the third realm as to be either faith or doubt. He always taught it that way. He didn't have to change it. You say, yeah, but there is a problem. Maybe God let that be there, where you and I could be confused about what we believe in the prophet taught. Oh, may I quote the prophet? He done these things to try us. Because if this one's right and that one's wrong, race that one out and get this one. Vice versa. I stand and say both of them right. Because of what he always said. Body has five senses. Second realm has five senses. Spirit has one sense. Where are you anointed at? If you take it here, you put the anointing in here. Now you got vast problems. With your anointing and the spirit realm in the center of the individual. That's why I believe the Bible. Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is a discerner between the soul and spirit, the joint and the marrow. Look, teach it the way we've been reading these. That you're anointed in your spirit. Now you got it right. Body, five senses. Spirit, second realm, memory, reason, conscience, etc. That's where your anointing can be on your spirit. And that's as far as that anointing goes. It don't go into the soul. The anointing quickens the word that you're holding in your soul.
Amen.
The Spirit of God quickens the words you have in your soul.
Right.
You don't open up somebody and pack Hebrews 13:8 and a little John 3:16. Oh, we got the word in our soul. Why did that 380 leave Jesus?
Right.
After his resurrection. Boy, now, wouldn't that be something for Jesus to come right in here, appear among us, and 2 weeks later you say, I don't believe he was here. Now, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? But you see what I'm talking about? After the opening of the seals, they come into plain view. The anointing, then he could preach anointed ones at the end time. After the opening of the seal. That the anointing would be the anointing on your spirit. Which would be, as I've read to you there, one or two, I know one, be the second realm. You see the difference in truth of understanding? In truth of understanding, you'll try your best to see that Brother Branham's message is correct all the way through. You don't have to change it to make it fit. I don't have to say he was wrong here and got right here. I didn't say that. I said he taught the same thing all the way through. Three senses.
Right. Amen.
Body, second realm, third realm. He was always teaching it right.
Right.
Amen. It's us that read it. They read it wrong. And then used it to preach. The two-soul doctrine is based totally upon body, soul, and spirit. When Brother Branham come around and put it body, spirit, and soul, it annihilated that two-soul doctrine.
Right.
Come on. A lot of you don't know anything about two-soul doctrine. But what they taught was that you receive the soul from God, two souls. When you're born into this world, this is what they teach. It ain't right. That you get a soul from God and you get a soul from the devil. God kills one of them. The other one they teach always was eternal. There's where your doctrine came of those things. That they taught you always was eternal. You didn't need any new birth for this soul. Well, number one. This is 1970. Number one, brothers, what's wrong with your doctrine? Because you're telling me that this soul, two souls. Now, according to my prophet, Satan cannot create. So you're saying he created a soul. Oh, yeah, he took your soul that God gave to you, and through time he perverted it. Yes. But he didn't give it to you. And if he didn't give it to you and God gave it to you, why are you killing it? Because that was their doctrine. You got to kill one, you got two. You got to kill one of them. They admitted that. The church, we stood back there and fought these things out all the way down through. And that's what I've always taught. I tried to tell them then. I said, you got it all messed up because you don't understand. Get it, body, spirit, and soul. And do what the prophet done after the opening of the seals. Now, I say this way because I'm human. Most of you read, and we read what we read was from 65. And you never looked over to see what year it was. You don't know whether he said it in 62 or 65 or 75. But yet, I'm a smart aleck. But let's sit down and talk about the word. Come on. The anointing is on your spirit. Their spirits are anointed. How far did we get down? We get number five. God anointed that spirit. He doesn't anoint a soul. He either lives in it or don't live in it. He don't anoint. That's why I tried to get you for 3 or 4 weeks now. I've been laying that quote in, laying it in. One of these days it'll dawn on you. Where anointed ones are not sealed in. There's nothing to seal for anointed ones. But those who have the word, took it and held it. There's four things the gospel declares about the disciples. One, they took the word and held it. One of them, they took the word and done. There's four things that was done in the gospels with the word to set it up. Because you know the sowing, what? Sowing of the seed. The seed were the children of the kingdom. And that set up to where that soul, that seed would land in that soul of that individual. And when it did, the Holy Spirit would come down and anoint, yes, that word and make it alive. That's why the new birth is a birth of the word. It's not you shouted, cried, or done this, that, or the other. It has nothing to do with that. You're a prophet. I've tried to tell you, but you won't listen. What did we read this morning? I'm going to give you one that'll choke you. The baptism of the Holy Ghost don't mean you're going in. Not at all. Not on that. Don't have anything to do with your soul. Oh. That's the baptism. Here's the inside soul. This is from the modern events made clear by prophecy. It has to come from God. Then on the outside, you have the five senses. And they contact your earthly home. The inside, you have a spirit. And in there, you have five outlets. Your conscience and love and so forth. Five outlets to that spirit. Remember, in that spirit, you can be baptized with a genuine Holy Spirit of God and still be lost. Well, I've never heard nothing like that. Where have you been? Where have you been? Have you read? Well, I've never read that book. Leadership. Many of you think I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to heaven. That don't mean one thing that you're going to heaven. No, sir. You can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost every hour in your life and still be lost and go to hell. The Bible says so. Why? Because the Bible said the rain falls on the what? The just and the unjust. The anointing strikes the just and the unjust. The new birth is a birth of the Word. Yeah, but we think you're talking about, you just need to read the Bible. You do need to read the Bible. We'll start off with an amen. But then we settle it with one thing. Just because you read it don't mean you understand it. Keep reading it. Then about the time you think you got it figured out, you're about halfway through reading it. We got a gold star in the Baptist because we read the Bible. I didn't read mine to get a gold star. I read mine to find out what he said. And this is what I said the day that I walked out of the Baptist church, or I heard of this message. I said, Lord, I'm supposed to be a Christian according to the Word. Now let me be a Christian. Let me be a Christian. Teach me the things that make me a Christian. What about it then? Okay, let's go ahead to, let's just prove this point. See, a lot of you don't think that what I say, because you ain't going to go home and look it up. You're not going to go home and look it up. What, brother, are you telling me you ain't going home? I'm telling you, you ain't going home and look it up. If you do, you'll read over it and pass over it and say, well, I don't mean that. Brother Dale said that. I don't believe that. Well, I didn't say it. They asked Brother Branham a question in 1961. Go ahead, number nine. Now, that's a hard one. Please explain the difference between the spirit and the soul. Now, that's a hard one. But the first thing, you are a triune being, just like Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Father, Son, Holy Ghost is three titles going to one person, which is Jesus Christ. And your soul, body, and spirit. But it takes those three to make you. With just one of them, you're not you. It takes the three to make you. Body, spirit, soul. Every which way you want to call it, soul, spirit, body, whatever you want to call it, it takes them three to make you. Right? What are you? Body, spirit, soul. You turn around and say spirit, body, soul. Yeah. But listen, whatever I am inside of me has gone on. That's explaining that it come down to what? That's the part that is the spirit. The soul is the nature of that spirit, that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it does not do nothing. You. It changes or converts your spirit to a different soul. Okay. And the soul is a different nature that's on that spirit. So the soul is the nature of your spirit. Amen. Whatever you are inside is what you are in the second realm. We're supposed to be the same thing in the outer realm.
Right.
Amen. You see then? Go on to the next one, number 10, the rapture. Now remember, this is 61. Right? Now here's 65. Okay? Look at here. You're a triune being. You are inside this little fella here is the soul. The next is the spirit, and the next is the body. Now, you got five senses in this body to contact your earthly home. You don't contact the rest of it. You got five senses in the, of the spirit here, love and conscience and so forth of that. But in here is where you live. That's what you are. What are you? You're a soul. The Bible doesn't say the spirit that liveth sinneth shall die. Come on, let's get in the Bible. The Bible don't say that. The Bible don't say the spirit that sinneth shall die. It says the soul that sinneth. David even knew it and cried out, my soul thirst after thee. Jesus cried out hanging on the cross, my soul. Then he says, into thy hands I commit my spirit, which was his whole being then. What happened when Jesus died? Body went to the grave. Spirit goes to God who gave it. And I'm quoting Brother Branham. Where did he say the soul went? It wasn't the spirit that went to hell. It wasn't the spirit that went to the souls in prison. It was the soul. The soul descended and come back up. Then Brother Branham went beyond the curtain of time. Those people told him, this is souls under the altar. So what is your soul? That's why I don't have no problem. Because I've studied it 40 years. While they were trying to figure out how many souls you had, I was trying to figure out what the prophet was talking about, a soul. And I read one day where he said in the Hebrew book, page 80 in the old Hebrew book, if you want to look it that way, he says the soul is your theophany. No, but my theophany's up yonder. I thought your soul is what you are. I thought that was your being. See, that's why you can be anointed by that spirit on the memory, reason, conscience and things, connecting through from the outside man and get into the love, joy, peace and all. And you can go out and do wrong. But that soul, if you'll just listen to it, it'll keep you straight. It'll keep you lined up. It'll stop you from going out there and doing those things. So I don't want salvation in my spirit. Now don't misunderstand me. I want it in my soul working out through my spirit, out through my body. And I admit somewhere between, and I read you a quote a while ago, that the spirit was between the soul and the body. Somewhere in between ours, our problem. The spirit realm. Right? Memory, reason, conscience, affections, and all of that can go wrong. Okay, come on, swallow. Jesus was tempted. Were. Now, according to the Bible, that no man can tempt God. Are you with me? No man can't tempt God. Be stupid, it's right. But Jesus was tempted. Were. Not in his soul. It was in his spirit. His memory, reason, conscience. He was a human being. He saw just like we see. Now, Brother Branham, I didn't say it. Brother Branham said he was tempted of women. Well, boy, you sure were. No, I just tell it the way it is. He was a human mortal being in body. subject to the five senses, working upon his memory, reason, consciousness in his spirit realm. But inside of him, he never sinned. Inside of him, he never lusted in that soul. Oh, if we could ever get our senses right, get to the point. Yet we've got to have everything. Just like what I'm saying. When Brother Branham said, beyond the curtain of time, he said the angel of the Lord said, this is souls under the altar. That can't be souls under the altar, because souls under the altar is the fifth seal. Boy, we're smart. We got it all figured out. Well, the angel said it was souls under the altar. But see, we've got so much knowledge until it puffeth up. When he went there beyond the curtain of time, that was his soul. You say, well, where was he at? Come on, let's don't be too far gone. There is such a thing called soul travel. Man's always taught about that. That you can go out, have an outer experience and back and forth. That's what happened to Brother Branham. His body was laying on the bed. There on the bed was a body, spirit, and a soul of a man. Right. But yet, soul travel, he went into another dimension. Because right. He was a prophet and subject to the dimensions. And when he got there, he could see the people and feel them. And they said, this is souls under the altar. Well, see, we're so smart. No, that's not sold under. Sold under the altar is fifth seal Jew. Brad said that. Well, how long will we toil in our minds? How long will it be until we get settled and get our human minds out of the way? Then we can talk about a change. Then we can talk about. Well, Brother Dale, the way you've brought it out to two services, or of course you've got four services, you've brought it out that the anointed ones was anointed on their spirit. I brought that out because I believe it. It's what your prophet taught. He also taught that people that are to be true born-again believers, the anointing is on their spirit. But it quickens the word that they've held in their soul. Whereas the other can't be quickened. Why was it Caiaphas couldn't be quickened? He confessed who he was. That you're a man sent from God, because nobody can do the things that you've done unless God be with you. What was the difference in Caiaphas and Jesus? One was the Word. What are you saying? The Word will tell everything. The Word tells what we are. That's why it's so dangerous to play and say, well, you know, we don't have to understand these things. We just believe in God and doing the best we can do. Are we? How do you know whether you're anointed or not? I hope you've got down to that point that at least you can say what I'm saying. I believe that every person that's anointed is anointed on their spirit. That there is no such thing as anointing in the soul. Show me the prophet. The anointing is on your spirit realm. Now, let's sink that real good. Let's see if I can keep the memory. Only Christians sin. You agree with that? Do you agree that I'm quoting Brother Branham? No. Only Christians sin. A sinner is condemned on a higher level. He's automatically condemned. He's not a sinner. He's condemned. Sin has annihilated him out of the way. But only a Christians have sins. All right? Now then, if only Christians have sins, the Bible said, he that sinneth shall die. Is that right? He that sinneth shall die. All right? Now, Brother Bob, you ever had a dirty thought? Oh, at least he admits it. Most of you get red faced and say no. How about it? You ever had a wrong thought? Now, let me get that straight. Remember, you can have a wrong thought and not sin. Come on, we spend 4 hours explaining it, but you can have a wrong thought and not sin about it. Because that's Satan tempting you. Because Jesus had to have that thought in his mind process to be able to lust. You agree? All right. See now, where was it at that you had the wrong thought? It couldn't be in your body, because that body's worth nothing. It don't think. It is motivated from the inside. It's not your soul that thinks it. Where's it at? You know, I mean, to me, if you'd just listen, a stupid old idiot to try to explain something. Do you realize if you have a wrong thought under your concept of the fact that if you think wrong, you're lost? Then you're lost. But if you have a thought process or something happens that's just your thought coming in, you can't help that. Listen, folks, I spent 2 years fighting this man, this devil of that. Till Brother Moat one day said it. He said, Brother Dale, you're going crazy. I said, I know it. But he said, you've got to stop and cut this devil off where he's at. He said, let that thought come and then turn it down. I said, oh, God. You can't stop it from coming. But what was the story? You can keep it from building this nest in our hair. This message has got the most wonderful opportunity for a Christian to be able to understand who we are and what's going on. Amen. But just remember now, Brother Dale makes another statement. I don't blame the devil for everything I do wrong. Now, you say, well, I do. No, I don't blame the devil for the things that I do wrong. You say you do wrong every day. You want your profit for it? He said, every day. So what about it? The soul that sinneth. God would have to kill us. But if that sin is within our spirit realm of our memory, reason, conscience, affection, and thing, then God can pass it off with us saying, I'm sorry, Father, that I thought that. Amen. I'm sorry that I thought that. I apologized to a man years ago about something. He told some of them later, he said, to think. Brother Dale dug me out of a doctrine that was wrong. And that's what it was. He was in a doctrine and his own marriage and divorce. And I explained just a few things and it led him out of it. He said, but think that he come and apologized to me. I didn't apologize for telling him the truth. I apologize for the fact that I may have hurt his feelings. I told a man just the other day sitting in my house. I said, I'm sorry that last night I talked too much. That I spent hours talking to you about the message. I'm sorry. He said, well, you're sorry for talking? No. No, I should have let him talk more. But I'm so zealous. I said, brother, you don't understand. This thing is shut up inside of me. I'm so zealous to get the people to see what God is and where he's at and what he's doing. till I'm subject to this overloaded. So I'm sorry for talking too much. And everything I was telling him, I was hoping was happening. But just remember, you can sit there hoping you're helping somebody else. It might be you need to shut up and let them say a few words, and you'll find out they might know more than you think. Right? Oh, no, I know all about it. See, there's where we go. That's that memory, reason, conscience, affections. But let me just let that inside man, let that inside man come out. Then what does it matter what people think about you? You ain't heard me get up here and lambaste the brother for the situation that is happening to a great brother that I love. I don't agree with him. But you ain't heard me say nothing. You ain't heard me say he's lost and doomed. And no. I told Brother Forney, I said, you tell the brother. As far as I'm concerned, I don't know what's going on. But as far as what I know, I ain't saying one word. I said, it comes out, I find out, you know, it's all right. And it's come out later, all of the things were said was maybe true. But that still don't make no difference. Abraham went after Lot. Right? Are we willing to lay down our what we think is so great and go after somebody to try to lead them back? Amen. That they may see Christ. The seal of God. The word is sealed into your soul. The devil is sealed out. But the anointing, it comes down upon that word that you've took and held it. And it makes it alive. You ain't afraid of nothing then. Why? Because it's alive. Come on, musicians. Think on these things. I may pull some more quotes and read them. But take some of these quotes that you've got home with you and read them yourself. They were, I've already run them off. Christ, the anointed one. And we are little anointed ones. Little messiahs. Little children of God. What we got, brother? Let's stand.
Give F.
Mercy.
Just give it time. Pray. And just give it a little time. I told you about it when God spoke to me about that first seal and how it opened. I was running a job that nobody else couldn't run. I ain't joking, they couldn't run it. You wouldn't know something like that unless you talked to some of these brothers that have worked assembly lines. Nobody could run my job. But I'd write down just a few words. And God opened that seal right there and me just running up and down the line. When he opened it, I seen, there goes the white horse rider. And it wasn't Brother Branham standing there, and it wasn't me standing there. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. But the prophet said, here stands a lamb with a book in his hand. And said, out there goes the white horse rider. He said, thereby it's got to be the Antichrist. Simple statement. You find two people in the Bible, you got a mixed up doctrine. The Bible only reveals one God. Cast down, but mercy, he rewrote my life. Oh, mercy, he rewrote. Anybody have a need? Mercy rewrote my life. Oh, I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy rewrote my life. Father, we thank you for it was truly mercy that rewrote our lives and changed us from a vile person to a true Christian of God. And Lord, we hope that what we've tried to bring is well enough for us to understand. We truly believe in the anointing of the Christ. But thank you for giving us the message to let us see that we can have that anointing and still be lost. But we think we're saved. The only way to know is what our soul does with the word. What our soul does with the word will give us the answer. Not what our mind does, but when that inside man speaks back. Then we have what we have need of. Bless the people on the way home. Give everybody a safe journey. Be with Wade and them traveling. Be with Anna and Richard and them traveling. Be with everybody here traveling home. And just remember the sick ones among us. And Father, you just come on the scene and heal the sick and deliver each one of us. Make us to walk in the light of your love. Forgive our sins and cleanse us and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
I should have fallen, my soul cast down. His mercy see.